Great. Hello then.
Boom, boom, boom.
Welcome to podcast 113. Well, it's a good job it's not on a Friday, otherwise there'd be some severe superstitious shizbiz going on. And we are joined very specially and quite long in the toothly. DT.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Look at that Woo! Lovely face.
It's not like you weren't Woo! Just looking at him a few minutes ago.
No, you weren't.
Pretend like it's the first time today.
Don't ask yourselves, did Bones get more handsome? Because that's not what happened. It's just DT.
I don't know, man. His hair, yeah. I'm losing mine slowly but surely. That guy's got something on me, I'll tell you that. No, thank you guys so much for having me. This is, there aren't words to express how honored I am. It's literally the reason that started it all, you know, my journey down, you know, the Destiny community road, the first step of all of it was the Planet Destiny podcast. So to say that I'm excited to be here is just such an understatement. So thank you guys so much. He watched
that first podcast and Mean Joe Teft, when he was walking out, tossed him his jersey and a Coca-Cola.
Here you go, kid. Thanks, Mean Joe Teft. And now all they say is, where's Teft?
Exactly.
Yeah. Where is he? Yeah. Well, it's good to have you here, man. You know, you're always streaming on the PD channel, and we saw you're online, and we figured, let's get somebody else in here. You know, we've been having a couple of guests these past few weeks, and we thought, you know what, DT's a cool guy. Let's get him on in here to get some discussions up about some of the upcoming content in the world of Destiny. And very graciously, you accepted, jumped on in here, and we're happy to have you here, man.
Thank you so much. Again, it's the honor is all mine. Can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Woo.
Lovely. So
all right, now this podcast has officially started.
It has. We're in full swing.
Yeah,
it is. I was right, isn't it? It is 113.
Yes,
I guess. I'm just looking at the Twitch title.
Story.
Have no idea.
You'll notice that I've started when I send you the audio file. I've been putting the date because I don't know what episode number we're on.
So. I know. Me too.
You all do higgledy piggledy file names. It's like you just put your name and the episode number.
Well, I put...
That's it. Reprimanded.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, sir, boss.
But I mean...
I'll try to do better next time when you know what episode number we're on.
Yeah. I'm like Ron Burgundy. You could put the title as podcast number 12, and I'd be like, hey, welcome everybody to podcast number 12, apparently. That's kind of weird.
No, fallout. Ron Burgundy can read, so I don't know if that's true for
debatable.
You.
Debatable. Very debatable.
You think you're better than me, Megan? With your fancy book
at very little in life do I think I'm better than you. Alright. Really only in growing beards. That's the only thing I have on you.
Knew you were gonna go there. Son of a
bitch. I'm trying to
it's
decide.
The one thing that Fallout really cares about too. That's what's sad. Yeah.
I'm trying to decide which one of you's got the best grey hoodie and which one of you's got the best Marvel t-shirt on here.
You like that? You like this Link and I matching? It's a whole thing. And who has the best hat though? It's obviously gonna be Link though.
Story.
Yeah, man. Kiss my ex.
Oh, no.
This is a woodchopper's. This is the famous woodchopping cap of the century.
We didn't give DT the memo that this is just going to be a fashion
theme. DT, yeah, we kind of sidetrack a lot.
I have to say, it's so being a part of or listening into the playful banter first person, it's like, this is it. This is the podcast. I'm here.
Like, oh my God.
I'm sure you, we join do in with talk it. About Destiny.
Yeah,
in between ribbing each other.
Under the veil of Destiny. Yeah.
It's like 75-78%, you know, just banter, and maybe sometimes 25-30%. Yeah. Dead Stinny.
Yeah. All right. Oh, no,
he said it.
Game, you dropped the D bomb.
So dead.
What a guy. Ugh,
you know.
My goodness. My gracious.
I know.
Oh. Speaking of Dead Stinny, did any of you guys play it this week? You know, since we're on a podcast specifically about Dead Stinny.
Play it every week. We do the Nightfall, don't we, Mega?
Yeah. That's the one time that I can guarantee you I always play it is the Nightfall with the story. And the Nightfall was great fun this week. I'll tell you that. And I certainly didn't not play any more of it after that, I promise. I played a little bit this week, but nothing substantial. I played a little bit to get some filming done for video stuff and, like, one or two matches. But I can't say that I was too sucked in. I haven't had anyone to play Trials with, so I didn't get to do that. Sad news for
That's
me.
A sad face. Insert sad face.
Sad emote.
Yeah.
Little Bible thump there in the chat right now.
Mm-hmm. I watched a lot, though. I watched Fallout play some, so I got that going for me. I know you played. Nice. I know DT was just playing, so somebody talk to him about playing, not me. All right?
I'll talk to him about playing. For those of you who don't know who DT is, you should be ashamed of yourself, one. Mm-hmm. And two, he's kind of our lead-in for the podcast. He streams every Sunday night before we hop on and talk about God knows what, and he is a trial Sherpa. So, DT, did you get anyone to the lighthouse this week?
We did. Several. I have to say, it's getting more and more difficult. Meta aside, it's just flat out becoming, each weekend you're saying, wow, this is tough. Wow, this is even tougher than last week. Wow, this is even tougher than last weekend. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is. A lot of people have theories with the player base, saying that the people that are truly dedicated to trials and improving themselves, those are the ones that are still playing. Therefore, it's going to be tougher. I think part of it is just the population is just getting better at this game. I really do. Yeah. I truly dread Burning Shrine at this point, even though I love the map. But that's the most common map, and I think people know it best, So just kind of extrapolating that theory onto, just the general trials. It's tough, man, but God, do I love it. There's nothing beats the rush of trials for me.
It definitely is getting a lot harder. I feel your theories deep within me, my friend. That sounded weird. But yeah, I think it's part the community just getting smarter and playing more and more, getting more experienced. And then there's another part where some people in the community are just kind of hanging out and chilling, waiting for Age of Triumph to come out. Some people are waiting for Destiny 2 to come out. It's part of the meta, and with a couple of people taking a break, I suppose, you're just left with all the really good people in there. So I'm lately only doing Virgin-only Trials carries to help people get the Lighthouse achievement for the upcoming Age of Triumph record book, which has been really fun, but also really goddamn challenging. Really challenging.
But I have another reason about why Fallout's doing Virgin only, because at this point those are the only people he can be sure are impressed by his gun skill. He's tired of people appreciating him.
I'm like, yeah, it's right.
Yeah.
Baby, stay here,
I mean,
stay
I'm
close
all right.
Me.
I'm not stay close great. To mama.
Oh man.
Oh, but no.
I think, Mega, you were in the chat. We got somebody to the Lighthouse. He had never played Trials before at all. First time playing Trials, and we got him to the Lighthouse, and that was
You dropped,
really
he was the second match the first time, just because bad luck, and then after that, you guys just aced it through on the next card.
If we lose, one game or two games in, I'm like, that doesn't count. We'll start the card over.
Exactly.
You
know
what I mean?
That
you don't want to waste your doing that quickly. So, we took it back. He had no idea about the pace. Because DT, you know what I'm talking about. Trials, sometimes it can be very quiet and slow, and you're like, okay, nobody peek, don't get hard scoped, be careful, play cautious, and then you get a pick, you get a kill, and then you're like, go, right now, what are you doing? Move.
And
people who are new to the experience are like, oh God, what's happening? Where do I go? What do I do? But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know when to. Go ahead, DT. You're the guest, man.
It's exactly that, and just the overall pacing of when a teammate goes down, don't get the revive out in the wide open or while you only have half your health. It's like they still kind of have that mindset of sixes of just normal day to day Crucible. That if I die here, I'll be okay. It gets kind of it becomes, I wouldn't say a bad habit, but you just kind of get into that flow, and it's one that you have to break definitely if you want to be successful.
That's basically exactly what I was going to say. I always thought it was interesting to watch people go through trials for the first time because it's such a change from sixes, where it's both a way faster paced game and sometimes a way slower paced game, because you can't just go out there, jump into the middle of a battlefield, get mapped, and then say, okay, well, I'll just revive and come back. No, it's a very team oriented game, and as soon as one person dies, things waterfall so quickly, and it's got to be a crazy experience taking people through for the first time, man. That's super cool that you guys do that.
Yeah, as somebody who is pretty new to Trials, that was definitely the feeling. It was like, there's no middle areas in Trials. It's a game of extremes. It's either you're doing nothing or it's just balls to the walls. Fucking, you gotta go. You gotta move. Like, there's no, like, just chilling. Oh, you know, well, now we'll back up. Now let's just back up for a second here. There's no, you gotta fucking go when you get the chance. I love it. It's my favorite game type now. It's just, I'm not good at it. I mean, I'm not good at anything, but it's fine.
You know, you say that, but you've been to the lighthouse like half a dozen times now,
yeah,
haven't you?
Well, I mean, is that any of that me, or is that just because I'm like, yeah, Fallout, carry me with fun police, no, so I don't have to do anything?
It's
while I make dumb,
I mean,
dumb jokes in the background, you guys do all the work. Fallout,
I think
don't
it's,
worry.
It's, I'm better really than hard I was, at this point to do but just two people doing all the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can joke and you can say that, you know, hey, you know, you're better than me or whatever, but
yeah,
it's
still
really
give most
if
of
you,
the
you had put down your controller and just done nothing, then we wouldn't have gone flawless.
That's true.
We wouldn't have won the matches.
I give most of the credit to like playing with better people though, just because when I play with you, it's easier for me to know what to do, mostly because you tell me a lot of the time, and also I can just stick with you, and then following you
true
just kind of naturally puts me in the right places, basically. So if I'm on my own and my brain has to do the work, it's a lot harder, though.
I've been telling people, like, yo, like, if you don't know what to do, just take your booty and glue it to my booty, all right? I don't want to see you more than 5 feet away from me. You stay right here, all right? And then it works out.
Fallout's like the Miss Frizzle and the Magic School Bus of just Trials carries. Just on the bus, kids. We're going to the lighthouse. I want to see that. I want the next Fallout emote to be just Fallout Frizzle because he's Miss Frizzle. Somebody Photoshop that right now. Please.
I'm going to be quiet for about 15, 20 minutes, guys. Don't worry. I'm just working on something else unrelated to what Link just said.
Got you. So, you know, something I've been asking all the guests for the past couple of weeks, and something I certainly want to throw over to you, DT, is how have you noticed Trials change, if at all, since, we'll say, the new meta sort of went into effect?
Dramatic, yeah. I mean, there's no word better to describe it other than dramatic. I'm actually for PD. Hopefully, we're going to have that published tomorrow. Talking about 2.502 and talking about what we're hoping in 2.503, and looking over the stats is a big part of the article I'm writing. And I mean, it's a 1-to-1 transfer of every shotgun became a sidearm. And,
yeah.
I mean, boy, I mean, that's pretty, that was interesting. I'm more curious to see. Yeah, I think it was a misstep in Bungie's part for the whole rollover sidearm ammo. And I think fixing that, reducing that, eliminating that, I think that's going to fix a lot of the issues. But yeah, just the meta has been, it's been really strange. Seeing sidearms is a very unusual sight, but I'm more excited to see what we're going to see here in, you know, 2 weeks. I think that this was sort of an intermediate throw away, you know, almost immediately. I want to say the release was February 14th, and it was on the 18th that Josh sent out an article saying, yeah, sidearms, this isn't okay. So just 4 days later, and now we've been in it for a month. But again, that's the quick fix is coming here shortly. So I don't think that we're going to have to be worried or concerned about that for too much longer.
Yeah.
I really want to know if there's anybody who just started playing Destiny and like this is their first impression of the meta, like that sidearms are this OP thing when they've been like a joke for so long. Like that's crazy to me to imagine.
Really weird, yeah.
When someone thinks of Destiny, they think of sidearms immediately. Like crazy.
That image just doesn't fit. It's
no.
Like, oh, what? Let me
but
introduce
I have
to you
say
to a lie done by Felwinter.
You guys talked about it though, Fallout and Bones, that the in terms I'm seeing so much more primary, and the primary diversity is better than it's ever been. If you look, I mean, aside from No Land Beyond, again, that's going to be fixed. I mean, I'm seeing Palindrone at the same rate I'm seeing Isolunas at the same rate I'm seeing Midas, Suroses, and being used to great effect. And that is it really refreshing for somebody that puts in the hours that we do. Seeing, you know, just in that kill feed, seeing, you know, what's a waltz or something, you know, just something off the wall was truly refreshing. So I have to say, you know, hats off to Bungie for that.
We like the primary play. We like the primary.
Yes.
We love the embrace.
Say, that's That's an opinion that I think has been echoed pretty much everywhere, or at least through most of the Destiny community. While these special changes missed the mark a little bit on those, it's great to see primaries actually seeing some sort of chance in the Crucible right now. And I think Bungie understands that. They're probably, we can't put words in their mouth, but I would expect them to probably undo some of the special weapon changes that they put into effect, because sidearms are a problem right now. But primaries are in a pretty good spot, man. And I can't really think of much else they could do in that avenue.
Mm. It's map diversity, really, that seems to dictate a lot of the different primary use. Because scout rifles, they're tremendously effective. It's just that you need more distance. And unfortunately, the maps that we have in rotation are more heavily geared towards close quarters. So it's like you can't just buff scout rifles to be more effective in close quarters. It's really the extra diversity in maps that you need at the moment. I mean, auto rifles, maybe we could argue that those could be tweaked a little. Pulse rifles are in a great spot. You know, I know hand cannons are like, everyone will, you know, it's all about the hand cannons. You've got to use, you have to use a hand cannon. I don't care. I'll have 10. Thanks. Strapped to my pants. But like it, for me, it's more based on the whole maps. Like if we had lots more long range maps, which may not suit Destiny, and that could be the reason why we don't really have a fat lot of them. But you know, Widow's Court, Last Light, they'll moon one as well. I love
first
that.
Light.
As
a, first light.
There you go.
First Light.
I was kind of
close enough. Same thing.
You're
really
in the ballpark.
Yeah. I love that map for Trials, and I thought I would hate it. You know, so it's like, The bigger the maps get, the more varied the weapons choices seem to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'll put you there.
I've always wondered that. We've always kind of had an issue with weapons and weapon balancing. And I've always, kind of talking story, I think you're underlining it, so I'm going to echo or sort of piggyback off of this, that, you know, nothing happens in a vacuum. Nothing is 100% to blame for the balance in this game. You know, abilities, umpteen subclasses, umpteen perks, let alone the weapons, the sub, archetypes of those weapons. Nothing happens in a vacuum. It's some percentage of everything. But I think one thing that really gets ignored is the maps. Aside from, Blind Watch, have we seen any sort of map changes? We've kind of had, they've rolled out the maps and then they try to make everything work inside of these maps. So I'm wondering if one of the bigger underlying problems this entire period has been overall map design. What do you guys think about that?
I forgot until just now when you said that they made a change to Blind Watch.
Big change to it.
That was so long ago. Okay, if you're listening now, you have no idea what we're talking about. The map Blind Watch. It used to be a little bit different. There was like a window over by, what part of the map is that? Like, how do I describe it?
The sea area. Back towards back of
the sea area. Spot. Yeah, way back by the room with the green box of ammo in it. There was like a window right there that you could look out into underneath the overhang area.
Yeah, the canopy kind of thingy.
Canopy. It was like, it looked out to under canopy. And it was really frustrating for control? Because you could just hold that position and it was like impossible or really hard to break. And then they tweaked it so they shut the window, basically. And
I think they made two changes to it. I think they moved C-Flag.
The flag,
and
you're right.
They got rid of the window because they moved C-Flag.
Oh, it was under.
I'm getting a phone call.
Okay, who is it? Let's answer it.
Unprofessional.
It was somebody saying that they're extremely upset that we're talking about year one Blind Watch. But they moved B-Flag to the upstairs in mid. That section, and they closed that window. It used to be ludicrously unbalanced. It was basically, if you had a control game on C Flag, if you spawned on C, you won.
Yeah.
That was pretty much just it.
And there's still a bit of a problem with that map with Clash, isn't it? Because you can't flip the spawns. The spawns cannot be flipped on that one. So that's, in fact, when I was watching a hell of a lot of sweats, every time the people had loaded into that map, it'd be like, everyone quit. Well, that was before private matches, of course, but
I think you're absolutely right. I can't think of any other map that's seen any significant change like that at all since Destiny came out.
But if you were to make it do any maps need a change? Like, in what way?
Wait.
What is it? Cathedral of Dusk needs a big change, and that big change is it needs to be deleted. Yeah, that's the big change that Cathedral of Dust needs.
I think there we go. Some of those maps were specifically designed for certain game modes, and then when you release them out into the wild and put them into other playlist rotations, it became quite evident that they just didn't work for all game modes. I mean, that it's not something that I have like a huge problem with. I mean, yeah, it's frustrating if you're on a map that's been clearly designed for Rift and then you're trying to play Clash or Skirmish or whatever, something like that on it, and it's just not working. But yeah, I think that's probably one of the things that was thrown into the mix, that some maps were designed specifically for certain modes. And then of course we've got long range and distances. Could you classify Destiny PvP as being like a highly ranged kind of combat geared, you know, multiplayer? I mean, I think we've seen it work very well with you know, First Light on the Moon. I think it was a very controversial map, not everyone liked it, but it was quite resounding that people really did enjoy playing on those kind of longer range maps. A bit more diversity, I guess, you know.
I'm down with that. It's so hard for me to talk about like map design, because that's like, it's already hard for me to feel qualified to talk about gun design, and map design is like a whole another layer of depth in the balance mindset that's just crazy for me to even imagine. But I definitely think it would be interesting if they kind of touched on the maps, and I would like more map diversity, like Story said before in the past, that I really do wish that we had some longer range maps that were used more, just for the hell of it, just to see how the game would play in different ways. Goodness gracious.
I'm losing chesticles there. Need some Benadryl, perhaps?
Yes.
NyQuil?
Yes.
Do we want to talk about the This Week at Bungie?
Nah.
Do we maybe touch on that?
Bit something more important that we should talk about first, and that was, we of course got another live stream this week from Bungie, didn't we?
Oh, yes, indeed.
We had ourselves a little bit, we had the second of three Age of Triumph live streams from Bungie. This week they showed off what's going to be the weekly ritual, so the changes that are going to be coming to the swapping playlists of content that you play every week. And we got to get a little bit more of a look at that. It was some pretty good stuff. I think first off they showed off the starting Age of Triumph quest. It's going to be like a 12-part quest that has you going through story missions and all sorts of stuff like that. And then it moved on to some of the changes that are going to be coming to the playlist. We got the confirmation of Daybreak Strikes. That is going to be a modifier on, as I recall, Nightfalls only. I don't know if they said that modifier was going to be going to everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said Nightfalls, I think, in the stream. I agree.
Yeah.
Concur.
So Daybreak is going to basically be the Crucible Mayhem modifier moving into the Strike playlist, or rather the Nightfall Strikes, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
That. I'm cool. Very I'm much. Cool with that. I'm looking forward to it. What about you guys?
I'm very on board, and I like that one thing that they did. They said it was only going to come up like once a month. Which is good, because when people were first theorizing that Daybreak Strikes were going to be like these super heavy strikes, like where you just charged your super nonstop, I was like, that's great, but that just means that I'll run every strike like twice, and then I'll be even more bored than normal strikes, because my only option will be to use supers. Like, it won't be, there'll be no even changing up guns to make them play differently, but if they're only going to come up really infrequently, then it'll make it more of like a fun event to do, and it's going to make weekly Night Vales with Story a lot more fun too, so I'm down with that.
Yes! Yeah, man, I'm up for that. Maybe we'll actually do them a shorter, you know.
We'll still fail at it horribly. Yeah. Right? That's all that's going to happen, I promise.
Find it.
Yeah, I've got to agree. I like that it's a little bit of an every now and again thing. I think I said once every 4 weeks is when they'll have the Daybreak Strike modifier go live for the Nightfall, and I think that's cool. You know, it's a little bit something to look forward to once a month, like, you know, Iron Banner, and I think it's a great way to kind of revamp things. It's not the only change we saw coming to Nightfalls. This is one that I think everyone except Mega and the Husky Raid is super happy about. The blue flame's coming back, man.
Yeah.
Woo. Year one Firehead. I'm cool with that.
Wait, why are you not okay with that?
Because when you have blue Firehead on your characters randomly in a machinima, it really fucks with continuity, which means none of us can use, can play the Nightfall.
Write it into the script.
Just
somehow.
Write it into the middle of the script. It's like, we don't film in order. I filmed scenes from every single episode this season already, so there's no way. So basically it just means if one of us has a character that is a main character on the show, you can't run the Nightfall on that character until like the last day of the week.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Rip. But it's fine. I mostly only end up doing the Nightfall on PlayStation anyway, so I'm not too upset.
Machinima problems.
Yeah, it was a bigger deal when like everybody kind of played more regularly and the Nightfall had it, because every now and then somebody would do it and they wouldn't think about it, and then we would be like, oh great, well we can't film this week, guys. Pack it up, we're done. Yeah. So, that was, yeah. But you know, yay for everyone else. I like the blue flames. I think they're really cool. I really do love the blue flame as an idea, so all right.
And of course, that's something that was removed, I want to say, when the Taken King came out, right?
Yeah.
When they stopped the Nightfall buff.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, back in year one, when you completed the Nightfall, it granted you a Nightfall buff, which is an experience buff. I don't remember exactly how much it bumped your experience up by, but it gave you a nice, cool little blue flaming head effect for your guardian until reset happened on the following week. And they're finally bringing that back, which I don't do machinimas, so I'm totally cool with it, which is neat. But other than that, we also got a little bit of what's going to be coming with Eververse with the Age of Triumph. And this is going to be kind of the interesting section, because this is something Story and I spoke about after Bungie's live stream went offline. They're basically bringing back every bit of Eververse content they've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't around for like Festival of the Lost, you missed out on a mask, or you missed out on like the ghost. If you weren't around for a certain season in which they had a specific emote, all of that's coming back, as well as all of the event specific armor, the sparrows, the ships, everything that Eververse has ever had is coming back with the Age of Triumph. And it'll all be available through a new treasure chest called the Treasure of Triumph, something like that. Something like that.
Yes.
Something
like that.
Treasure of Ages. That's what it was.
It's Treasure of Ages.
Yes. One of those
Treasure
Xbox things.
That's what it is. Treasure of Ages.
That's what it was. Now, something I thought was really, really funny was the way this was all presented. They basically started off their stream by saying, hey, Eververse is coming back with a bunch of stuff that you can buy and use for the remaining 4 months of Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't the best laid of plans that was either. That goes in the same bracket as the old t-shirt price from the previous week as well. Yeah.
Well,
I just have this image of a pigeon spiraling down in the sky on flames and hitting the floor at the minute. Yeah.
Yikes. Yes. To be an optimist on that, let's say that it's because they want us to save or spend the silver dust we've amassed instead of wasting it. So there's the only way I can look at it, where they were trying to help us out or something.
Silver lining. I mean, if you don't want to spend silver, then you don't have to. And if there was something that you missed out on, that you really, really wanted, then you can get it. And it kind of is lame that it won't carry over to D2. But
I mean, they had
to
do it. It was something that had to be done, because Destiny 1 is still going to be accessible through the foreseeable future. They made a point of that. So it's putting the Eververse shop in a state where it's kind of like infinite. Would be, it's the way that it should be done. I think it was just a poor placement in the live stream. Perhaps that was not the fact that it's been done, and not the fact that it's there and it's available, because that is genuinely a good thing. It was just that it was put at the beginning of the stream as opposed to the end. That's where how it's been received in a kind of negative.
Just a funny lead-in.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. But I'm glad the fact that, because there was a whole bunch of stuff from Eververse, and being able to have access to it is a good thing. You know, like there were some great armor pieces. And, you know, if you're still going to be playing Destiny 1, even though we have another game coming, I think people do this all the time. They play the older games. They go back for nostalgia purposes. So having that stuff available is definitely the way to go.
It's sort of a weird balance, though, because as soon as Bungie announced this, I kind of thought it was the best way to do it, because they were damned if they do, damned if they don't. Yeah. In the sense that, you know, what if they would have made this announcement 2 months from now? After people had already, you know, they could have suckered us in. Or what if they didn't make this announcement until, you know, D2, oh, like halfway through the D2?
It would have been so bad.
You see what I mean? Whereas now they're saying, before you can even buy it, guys, we're just letting you know that if you do, we hope that you do, but it's not going to carry into D2.
Yeah.
I felt it was the most respectful way possible, minus just not having it at all, which is what I mm-hmm. prefer. But that aside,
That's out of the bag.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the microtransactions in Destiny. I still mm-hmm. hold that mantle. But again, of this situation, you know, the fact that it's going to be in the game, apparently, I think they did as best they could, frankly.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, this being the final event for Destiny 1, all of these events and all of these items were already in the game at some point in time. Making it all available right now is probably the best way they could have handled that, mm-hmm. so that you can go in. A lot of the stuff you'll be able to buy with Silver Dust, I think you'll be able to buy the SRL shaders, emblems, the Dawning gear, and a series of new emblems, surprisingly, that is going to contain armor from different factions in different periods of Destiny's time being a game. They showed a little bit of that off in the Silver store. You can buy like engrams for like Dead Orbit and Future War Cult and New Monarchy to get armor sets from like the Taken King and I guess Destiny 1.0 via silver, which, you know, still microtransactions, but I'm glad to at least have an avenue for some of that stuff coming back. And moving forward, at least they're being a little bit more generous with the free box that you get a week, because right now you get one free, you know, up-to-date mm-hmm. Eververse box a week from running mm-hmm. your heroics. You're going to be able to get three when Age of Triumph goes live. You'll be able to get one from the weekly heroic, I think one a week from doing a daily story mission, and then one from doing from playing a single game in the weekly 6v6 playlist in the Crucible. So you're getting three boxes now, which is great. Microtransactions still suck, but if this was going to happen, this is probably the best way they could have implemented things. I just agree. They probably shouldn't have put it at the very beginning of the stream.
Yeah, if they would have had like as generous of free ways to get these types of things in the past, you know,
yeah,
like we'd all be really happy about it. It's just that they kind of led with it right mm-hmm. at the beginning of, you know, this is the last content update for a while, so just not a
forever.
Best. Yeah,
for well, a while, forever well, for this yeah. game.
I guess you should just give everybody money. Those pinching bastards.
I agree.
Bungie should. They should give us all free copies of Destiny 2.
Yeah, those yeah. goddamn cheapskates. See, that would be great,
I'll take
Mega.
A cool yeah. million.
Because, yeah, million. If they give us free copies of Destiny 2, they ensure that there's people playing the game and the community is stronger.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean,
it works
didn't
out.
We
come
already
on, man.
Fund Destiny 2 with these microtransactions.
I'm a problem solver.
Now, to be fair, go, they man. Do give you 200 free silver when you create a character.
Yeah.
So they get
don't
you hooked
all
to taste.
All
right,
it's not even
right
enough
away.
To buy a single emote.
Yeah, hey, you can buy an emote with 200. You just can't buy a purple emote. You can only buy
the
stock ones, because I bought Dab on PlayStation with my free 200, and I feel like that's a hell of a gift. All right? They gave me the gift of Dab for free, so I'll take it. Story, I just want to say real quick before we move on, if you could just pop open the chat and show
I was
going to
I was waiting I for a moment if you want
right.
yeah,
oh,
I can
there's
press this button I can't normally when someone sends a Skype message I won't open it because it takes
yeah.
over the screen for the
wait,
stream
hold on wait before you do it if you have an eagle eye in the past like 5 minutes
you would have
Link
noticed
was talking,
the faces.
Link was talking about something, and like Mega is smiling, and I'm trying to like yes. not laugh.
I was just
stream.
Watching
like,
Fallout.
Just,
look at it.
If you ever see me do something weird, it's because Mega is DMing me inappropriate things, and I'm trying not to laugh.
Well, everyone knows because you're watching my Skype screen. So if you get yeah. a message, it makes a noise, like it goes. Yeah. I can't turn that off, you know. And then a big thing pops up on the top, so it's not like okay. it's subtle or anything like that. Just to burst your bubble. But I'm going to
yeah.
click on
oh,
this.
Yeah.
And
perfect. There we go.
Oh, I'll let him see it.
Can oh, is it going to work? Oh,
it
no.
It opens it up on another screen.
Oh, unbelievable.
Just bring up the chat window.
I'm going
to they'll be able to see
we're
it.
We're going to crash the entire stream.
We're going to break the podcast right now. It's
oh,
worth
hold on.
It
it's
for
being,
the hard
it's
work.
It's here. It's,
I can
it's
see being, it, but the chat is blocking
the chat window, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've sorted okay. that out now.
All right.
Oh, you have?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
There
I
you
believe
go.
In you. There. My hard work. The hard work
the trials bus.
That Thank I was you. Doing
wow,
during this
incredible.
Podcast.
Thank you, Mega.
No problem.
There we go.
All right. Link asks for something. I make it happen. Okay. That is my job on this podcast. All right, now we can go back to talking about
there we go.
This game. You know, like we're
if anyone's listening
adults.
To the, only the audio of this podcast,
oh, yeah.
it's the
yeah.
Miss Frizzle picture with my face on it. There we
yes,
go. Now we
it.
Don't sound like
there
a bunch
go.
Of goddamn lunatics.
Yeah. Sorry about it if you're listening to this only.
All aboard the
You should really
bus.
Be here live every Sunday at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern for the... Full experience.
Twitch.tv/planet.
Make sure to smash. Make sure to smash that button that makes Twitch streams pop up. I don't know what the hell the thing is. There's a thing you can
it's
turn
your new
on.
Job,
I don't know.
Man, I like it.
Yeah,
yeah. I like yeah, Mega.
Make sure to
like
Scory Camp
guy.
That sub button.
Oh, yeah.
Scory Camp that sub button.
What's next then? What topics oh, wise?
Yeah,
what
topics.
We're supposed
right.
to be
what
talking about?
What are we talking about now?
Still got a few things about the Bungie stream.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Shax is, of course, going to have two weekly bounties now.
Yeah.
Twilight Garrison takes ornaments. Or not ornaments, but shaders.
Yes.
Finally.
Which is cool. That was really cool.
I don't understand yeah. why they ever make things that don't, other than specifically to make us feel hyped about it later when it does. Like, it yeah. really seems like this is all planned out.
It has to be some kind of...
Maybe it's really
they
hard.
Like, they,
Maybe it's
it
really
be.
Hard to
That's
make
what
it
I was
happen.
Gonna, like,
I don't
they
know.
Make the item. They're like, we got this really cool item for the Titan. You put it on. You can, like, mid-air dash. And they're like, wow, that's really great. Like, does it work great in the game? Yeah, but when you put it on, it's just... We can't fit... Like, it's just the color that it is. You have to deal with it. And they're like, well, they probably won't care. Like, a week later, they're like, this thing is ugly as shit.
Yeah. Looks like a life vest, goddammit. Yeah. I want it black. Yeah. Let me have it black.
They just took some intern and put him in a room, and they're like, okay, Billy, you're not coming out until you figure out how to get the Twilight Garrison to be the same color as the shader.
It's a like, genius balance move yeah. where they know
should
it's broken
be,
and they don't want us to use it. I love it.
There should
it.
Be like a threshold test every time. It's like, if you gave a cosmetic item to Batman, what would he say? You know, so if you asked him Twilight Garrison when it didn't accept shaders, is he going to say, yeah, I will wear that? So all developers should basically base their cosmetics around the Batman test, in my opinion.
There you go.
The Batman test.
The Batman
like
test.
There
you go.
Damn.
Yeah, it's nice that it did look good in the video, didn't it? In the stream.
Yeah.
It did
oh,
look
yeah.
nice.
I really like that they didn't call attention to it, but they put three mm-hmm. Titans right there. I knew, you know that one of them was like, oh, dude, don't say it, but put
yeah.
three Titans in the tower right yeah. there when we come in with the blue head.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, like 30 minutes later, somebody on Twitter with the screen cap, because they were the only ones like really paying attention to that crazy detail. And then like everyone's like, oh my God, how did we not notice that?
I'm hoping that it doesn't take shaders and it only does in that test environment. And that's why they didn't mention it.
Oh,
and then
no.
everyone will be so
okay,
salty.
Satan. Yeah, oh, that was Satan.
Yeah, it's only going to be pink now. That's what yes. the bug is. It's just pink.
It takes those like three shaders they were wearing and that's it.
Yeah.
Those are Wonderful. The ones. Oh, no.
Oh, it's okay. a beautiful thing.
It's beautiful.
But speaking of cosmetic changes, we also got to look at a few ornaments that are going to be coming to the game. Finally.
Finally.
Those ornaments are for some exotics. We've got the No Land Beyond, the Suros Regime, the Vex Mythic Glass, the Necrochasm, the Touch of Malice, Dragon's Breath, and Lord of Wolves are all getting some ornaments coming to the game, which is great. We already knew Vex Mythic Glass was coming. This kind of confirms that we're getting a new version of Necrochasm as well. So,
mm-hmm.
and Touch of Malice.
Yeah, man.
Or at least
why
updated
Lord
version.
Of Wolves and not Chaperone? I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Like, come on. Come on.
And the Chaperone does deserve something. That's the same. When me and Link were talking about the No Land Beyond ornament, I immediately envisaged it as some kind of ebony wood with either a silver or gold
yeah.
trim. And that same thing would work really well for the chaperone, I think. You know, like a really like super, super spiffy version of what it is. But, you know, I suppose if it's the chaperone, it's everything else. Not everything has an ornament in life.
That's true. You know? I do. I'm curious what they'll do with the Lord of Wolves of all things.
Just black.
I can't imagine.
Make it black.
Probably black,
just black. All right. Well, that's easy.
Yep.
Always bet on black.
Yep.
There it is.
They'll change it, and now it shoots literal pieces of garbage at you to confirm its position.
Hey, it still does precision damage, I guess. So there's that. I don't know if anybody's tested this. The Lord of Wolves, it increases your health regen of your fire team members when you get kills, right? That's its ability, isn't it?
I think recovery.
Was that affected by the Hungering Blade nerf? Yeah, I know you don't.
Everybody's sitting here like, what? Thank God we have DT to kind of taciturnly confirm that maybe it does, because that's really...
Maybe question mark. But I wonder if that was affected by the Hungering Blade nerf. It's like nobody uses Lord of Wolves,
no one uses the gun.
Yeah. No, Cammy uses that. I think it does do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't count to say that Cammy uses it. That's bullshit uses argument.
Everything.
Okay.
That's true.
Oh, come on.
Well, that's pretty much all of the big things to take away from the live stream this week. Now we can go into the weekly update. Of which there is some pretty big news this week. For anybody who didn't check out the This Week at Bungie for, you know, March 17th, 2017, it was mostly just a recap of the things that we just covered for the Bungie live stream. But we got a little bit of a callback from designer Jeremiah Peischel about some changes that are going to be coming to the Crucible environment. Of course, it's now this week. It's Sunday. This week we are having the final Bungie live stream. They're going to be showing off sandbox changes, including elemental primaries and how that's going to affect the sandbox. But we got some really interesting news for rewards in the Crucible. And I just see DT smiling. He must know. And we're going to take a little bit of time to talk about those, shall we?
Nah.
We shall.
The rewards aren't important.
Yeah. I think we're done.
Well, let me this up.
Yeah. Tell me more, Link.
Yes.
Tell you more.
Elaborate.
Bring me in.
Tell me more.
You got
desire
me on the line,
to know
buddy.
More intensifies.
Reel me in. Come on now.
Right on. Well, here's what he says. As we arrive at the Age of Triumph, we're making changes to the Crucible to improve matchmaking quality and allow more flexibility for how you earn rewards. Number one thing there, we're getting matchmaking changes coming with the Age of Triumph, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime they say matchmaking changes, I'm like, okay, let's see what you've got this time around. The number of active Crucible playlists are being reduced to help draw Guardians into a more focused set of battlegrounds. And I want to stop after that because this is something we've kind of all talked about. And I really want to get DT's opinion on this because he's super excited about it. They're cutting down on the number of available Crucible playlists in the game. And that's something I think is probably a very good decision.
Yes.
What do you say, DT?
Thank you so much. The person who really kind of brought it to light for me was Bones, actually. And it was, what is it, some 18, 19, you know, Inferno, Mayhem, Lone Wolf, Rumble, like just these really, you know, these really small derivatives that I don't know had the population or the pull, but, you know, it seemingly could have been enough to really eliminate the pool or restrict the pool of players that you could have matchmake with. So these really, really odd game modes that, you know, I don't see have too much draw. I don't think that anybody is overly attached to any of them. I don't know what your guys' opinions on
DT,
over that.
DT, Lone Wolf, Infernal Mayhem Rumble was my goddamn favorite place.
In before. Yeah, it's, I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you concerned with this? Are you going to miss some playlists? I don't care. Just give me matchmaking. Shut up. Yeah.
Yeah. Rumble, at this point, I
threes,
don't
sixes,
care.
Elimination.
Yep.
And then whatever the special pizzazz is, Mayhem, Inferno, the freelance 6v6 was really good as well. But if it was gone, it's like not something that's going to you know, cause
if
any...
the game were booming right now and there were like, you know, there might be a game type that I was really attached to, but right now I just want to be able to play the damn game when I pick a playlist, whatever that playlist may be. Yeah. So less is more right now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Now, I mean, if you're listening at home right now and you're thinking, oh, but like they're taking away one of my favorite game types. I mean, it's a little bit of give and take here.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. Air quotations bad in a way that they're cutting down maybe a couple of playlists that a lot of people might enjoy or moving them into a rotation. You won't be able to play them every week, but think about the good side, which is that with a smaller list of game type that you can go into Crucible and play, there's now a much higher chance that you're going to get paired up against a team of people with on your team or against you with really good connections. You know what I mean? Like, with so many playlists and so many different people playing, it's spread too thin, way too thin. And they want to use as many people as they can to put you together with the best connection possible. So I say, yay.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful kind of day.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Destiny's gotten on in years. The sequel's about to come out. This game certainly isn't dead, no matter how many times we make the joke, Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shoot, anytime Bungie goes live, they shoot up to like 100,000 viewers.
Very
There's a
true.
Reason for that.
Yeah.
And we know from, you know, websites like Guardian GG and Trials Report, there's still several hundred thousand people who log on to play Trials every single weekend.
Yep.
A low week, like the lowest week Destiny had ever seen was a few weeks ago, and it was like 215,000 unique accounts logged on to play Trials. Yep. That's insane. Yeah,
that's more for a weekend. Figures than take a game like Battlefield 1, which is a AAA title, multiplayer-oriented game, that has, I think, at best around 140,000 PS4 players on peak, something like 60 to 80,000 players on Xbox and 15,000 on PC. Mm-hmm. That's still some amazingly impressive. I mean, yeah, it's Trials. It's a weekend thing. Trials is very popular, but still, for a three-year-old game, those figures
that's
and
good.
Those numbers are huge.
Really good.
Yeah.
But, the average, you know, the average player base, it has dropped off. It's dropped off significantly. And consolidating these playlists will really help your matchmaking times.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the kind of player who's always getting thrown into games that are halfway completed with a non-full team and that team never fills up, this should help with that. And overall, you know, as a game like this moves on, like I said, the sequel's coming out soon.
Yeah.
This is the best decision they could have made. And it's kind of been a long time coming. So I'm happy to see it. While I'm definitely in the crowd that's going to be like, oh no, I don't have my Mayhem playlist every single week anymore because I love Mayhem. It is going to be rotating. Some weeks you're going to have a game mode, some weeks you won't. And ultimately, this is a push to, you know, kind of centralize the Crucible population and help your matchmaking out a little bit more. And I'm all for that. Absolutely.
Yes. I would like to see some tweaks to the skill-based matchmaking strength as well, because like being... from a distant corner of the earth, you know, it's very evident that connection quality is not as much of a priority as Bungie have claimed that it is. I mean, yeah, I'm in a difficult location in between Sweden and Russia, but I kind of refuse to believe that there aren't people in my area like playing it. I'm always going to have to play Mexico, Japan, Brazil, the States, things like that. That's the big thing. When I log on to play at the moment, it's taking a tremendously long time to find a match, and when it does, there is going to be, you know, hardly any European players in the lobby. So it is because you are being restricted to a pool of players within a very kind of, I would say, tight skill bracket. So there is more people playing there. It's just a combination of population as well as the players that you are allowed access to play against. And I agree, that's got to be there for a reason. You know, you don't want to be playing against noobs, but you don't have, like, players that have been playing for a very long time playing against people that have just started playing Destiny. That is, you know, quite uncommon anyway. There is a very heavy restriction there. So I think as the condensing the playlists, hugely good move, especially as Destiny 1 will be available. But I would like to see some... changes to the old skill-based matchmaking. Just a bit more of a tweak than what they did in December. Mm-hmm. What do you reckon, DT? What do you reckon on the whole SBMM thing? It's a very controversial subject.
I honestly do believe that there is a spectrum of people that, for whatever reason, I really wonder sometimes if it's an ISP thing. So talking about people in the States, I have friends, you know, that they just have the worst matchups, and frankly, where they are in the skill level, I don't expect them to be having that much difficulty. They're in a relatively populated place, so I wonder if it's ISP sometimes. And I think I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum, where since day one of Destiny, I'm on the higher end. I'll say I'm on the higher end. I should be getting some issues, and I really never have issues with skill-based matchmaking in terms of getting bad lob. Every once in a while, you'll get the one guy that's teleporting through the place. Yeah. So I don't think that I'm in a good place to speak about that sort of stuff. So I usually bow out of this conversation because, frankly, I've hardly ever had issues with it.
That I've got a lot of respect for that. The fact that it's like, well, I don't experience the issue, so I'm not really going to comment on it. Whereas I think that the argument that I've seen a lot of us is that usually, you experience bad stuff, I don't, so therefore you're talking shit. You know, that especially when it's like the US versus the EU situation, because like, I'm in the US, I don't experience any problems. These EU guys are talking out of their assholes. You know,
I have used sniper rifles for 0.01% of my kills in PvP. Let me tell you exactly why you're incorrect about how snipers function in the game.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I have a huge respect for that, mate. Thank you very much. Indeed.
Yeah, here in the US, when Bungie makes those playlist consolidations, we're all going to look forward to having a much higher chance of some better connections in those games, and meanwhile Story over here is gonna still be playing the top ranked competitive teams in Zimbabwe.
Probably.
Kuwait.
Zimbabwe trials team.
I should actually just join a Kuwait, like, because there are some tremendously skilled players in Kuwait.
They know you by now.
Oh my god. And when I'm playing with a friend of mine from the UK, we match Kuwait all the time, and there are some really good players over there. It's just, it's such a shame because the connections are always bad. They're so bad.
I got an idea, Story. All right, you give me your account information. I'll sign on to it for a week. I can guarantee you your skill base matchmaking is going to jump.
I thought you were
going
to use it as a template.
Anybody. No.
I guarantee you're going to get a lot better
of matchmaking for a little bit before you start to peak it back up, but I will tank that shit down for you in no time.
All right. I'll send you some good finished sweets
as a thing.
That's lovely.
Can you bake me some bread? I know I've seen you baking bread.
Oh man, I made a raspberry and white chocolate flapjack the other day that was it was like the
best. Just tell me stuff like that.
Oh my god.
You can't just tell me stuff like that.
Actually, that sounds really good though.
The flapjack was just the right, the oats were organic, and then I put like a little ginger and cinnamon and nutmeg in the mix. And then the raspberries were fresh raspberries, and you know, a huge slab of white chocolate on the top of it.
Blowing my mind right now. Like, the trans, I didn't know idea you were such a baker. This would be like if I was just like, oh hey, do we have time for questions? And Link was like, oh, speaking of time, did you know that I'm a watchmaker? And like,
no, I just control time. Speaking of time, I create it.
I make a lot. I don't have any store-bought stuff, like packaged stuff. I hand make everything because I don't want sugar and additives and preservatives in fucking everything. So I'll build my own stuff. Custom shop.
Well, we're American. We want all that stuff. Yeah. It's cool that you don't put it in.
No, I love it.
I love the
American
GMOs.
Cheese in a little square packet, you know, the processed stuff. I can love that stuff, but I couldn't live on it. No way.
No. Here in America, we only put that stuff on grilled cheese sandwiches and cheeseburgers. And fun fact, if you eat it on anything else, you die.
Yeah, you're a fucking son. It's not even, I wouldn't even say I put it on burgers. It's like your grandpa puts them on burgers on like, the 4th of July barbecue.
You go to is it a senior citizen thing? I thought it was like a default, you know?
No.
We're starting to get a little bit of class and sophistication over here in the States. We've moved on to provolone and Swiss, baby.
Processed camembert now in the little square packets. That's the new angle. But yeah, okay. So Destiny-related stuff as opposed to cheeseburgers and food.
Right. Five playlists a week. That
I'm down with that.
We're back on that.
We're back on that playlist talk.
Moving on, the last real big thing that they discussed in the Bungie Weekly Update concerned bounties and bounty rewards. And it went a little something like this. Bounties are also in for some revisions. Lord Shaxx will continue to offer his weekly bounties and will now offer one for each of the 6v6 core modes offered each week. Daily Crucible bounties have also been updated to be more inclusive of Guardians, regardless of which mode they play, which subclass they favor, or if they have a fire team available. Basically meaning that some of those bounties that said, hey, play on this subclass, or hey, get this many points as part of a fire team, they're going to be doing away with those and bringing in some more centric bounties that everybody should be able to complete. Yeah. More generalized stuff, which I guess I'm okay with. I never did the fire team bounties either way. Yeah. So.
No, didn't have any to play with.
That would be awkward for me, too.
Gonna get super sad for a second. No.
Little bit of a hitch in the plan there.
Yeah.
This is where I put my fire team, if I had one. But the Crucible Quartermaster will now offer 5 new bounties each week for different weapon archetypes, allowing you an opportunity to earn a variety of Crucible, Iron Banner, and Trials of Osiris gear from Year 2 and Year 3. Cool. That's a pretty massive change.
Mm-hmm. Aside from bringing up the old raids, that is without a doubt the smartest thing they've revealed thus far. Like, that is so, yeah, it's going to be refreshing because let's just say people really enjoy trials on the weekend for the most part. Let's say, you know, 67%. So they're going to enjoy that. It's during the week, that Tuesday to Thursday, that I think people get a little, ground down into the ground. And to now to get killed, you know, name a random weapon, just something crazy to get killed by that or have to use something crazy like that, I think is really going to bring a lot of life to that Tuesday through Thursday for people, which is nothing but good for the health of this game and for the community.
Absolutely. And I think something we've even discussed on this podcast, I think I might have complained about on one of the previous episodes. I always thought it was a bad idea that some of those weapons were exclusive to the year in which they came out. Like, why can't you still get a Doctrine of Passing? Why can't you get a Finalis Peril? Why isn't that stuff in, like, the Iron Banner drop pool? And so bringing all of that back, all of that Year 2 and Year 3 gear back, and then putting it in bounties, that means you can just go and do the weekly Crucible bounties at the Crucible Quartermaster and possibly get, like, a Nerwin's Mercy. You can go run those things and get a Doctrine of Passing.
Very cool.
That's a fantastic change. Fantastic change, in my opinion.
And then we're all going to get water stars.
Yeah, every last one of us. Damn Casket mag water stars.
Damn you.
So yeah, you are going to be able to get Crucible, Iron Banner, and Trials of Osiris weapons from Year 2 and Year 3 bounties at the Crucible Quartermaster when Age of Triumph goes live. And they also make a point of saying, and yes, there's a hand cannon bounty that can reward in Aya Sluna. So maybe Story will finally be able to get a decently rolled rifled barrel Aya Sluna.
I'm just going to do that bounty. I'm going to log in on that, you know, and just do that bounty and then go, you know.
And then log out.
Log out
I
again.
I guarantee you, Story will get a God Roll Aya Sluna the day before Destiny 2 comes out.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the day it will happen.
It'll happen. It'll happen. That's what's happened religiously with a lot of things, like party crashers, longbows. So why break the tradition of a lifetime with that? You know? But people will be like, why aren't you playing Destiny 2? It's like, fuck you, man. I got a rifle barrel, hidden hand.
I am shit. Rangefinder
Luna
right now,
with sure shot on it. I'm playing that. Fuck Destiny 2. So, yeah. We'll see. Let's see. Yeah, but yeah, having a bounty. These bounties are like, that was. I mean, Bungie are making some incredibly wise decisions that kind of begs the question of, why weren't these in the game before? You know, why we gotta wait till the game's nearly gone? But better late than never, eh?
The good news is if they're making these decisions now, maybe they'll make them in the beginning for Destiny 2.
No.
It'll be that way the whole time.
You're gonna be grinding like no man's business in... No person's business. I don't like that saying, no man's business. It's everyone's business. It should be unisex.
There you go. Exposed Story Machine sexist Planet Destiny
male chauvinist
podcast,
pig exposed.
Actually, wouldn't that make you a female chauvinist because you're saying it's no man's business? That means it's every woman's business.
That's you know what? Yeah,
you're excluding men.
I am. I'm. Meninists are going to be after my blood now.
You're.
my gosh.
Oh, man.
Confirmed man.
I'm going to write you some Twitter strongly right worded letters.
How dare you, sir.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Go for it.
Please ask.
For right now, in terms of the community, you know, whether you say the health and morale is high or low, wherever it may be, let's just say wherever, is this the calm before the storm? We have the raids coming up. That's going to give us, what, 2 months worth of excitement? And then after that, we have E3. And then all the D2 stuff starts leaking out. And then we have that weird date set for August, you know, when we have the week-long mayhem strike or the daybreak strike. So there's like a weird...
6 weeks long.
Oh, is it 6 weeks long?
It's
okay.
6 weeks long starting sometime in July. And ending, curiously, on I think it's like September 8th, which is a Tuesday.
So, and then we have a countdown timer. After that, so wherever the sort of morale and excitement of the community is right now, is it nothing but going this way for the next, you know, 4 months?
I would say so, because, like, maybe after all the buzz dies down from the actual PvE content that we're having, all the raids and stuff like that, it just like every the year, when there's been an announcement about the next upcoming DLC, there's been like a resurgence, people playing the game again. They're like, oh, great stuff's happening in the Destiny world. It's coming. And it just gets people back into the game again. You know, it seems to be like a repeating pattern there. So you're right. I think things are going up, you know, generally speaking.
We are definitely, I think, right at the base of what's going to be a very hype time in the Destiny community. But at the same time, the Destiny 1 hype is just going to go like this, you know?
But we're not going to have anything else to play Destiny-related until Destiny 2 replaces it. So that's why Destiny 1 gets all the hype.
It'll get a little bit of a boost, and they'll be, I feel like, it'll be great for us talking about Destiny 2 for like when, as soon as there's anything revealed, it's going to be five jackasses babbling on about what it could be for months. And it's going to be a great time.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
I think DT's right, you know, with the raids and stuff coming back. So of course, we're getting, you know, Crota's End, Vault of Glass, King's Fall. And Skolas, let's not forget him. Challenge of Elders is coming back. Whether Skolas is going to be at the end of that, actually, I don't know. I hope he is. But I'm happy about Challenge coming back. That was one of my favorite activities.
Me too.
Yeah, I think that's going to last about 2 months.
DT can't believe that people like Challenge of the Elders right
said
now.
Said no one ever, but okay.
There's literally dozens of us.
All right, it's fun. It's like if the stupid Archon's Forge was fun to me. I don't know.
Same here. That's like a relaxation experience for me, man. I just go into Archon's Forge, pop a Fallout's like, what's Archon's Forge? What is that?
I don't know what they're talking about.
is this a new game? Is it Pokemon?
Yeah, right.
Right. But yeah, I always like that content. Like, Challenge of Elders, I used to do speed runs of that with my buddy and my brother. And I would just go in there, turn off my brain, and kill things. And I enjoyed that. And I'm glad to see it's coming back with all the other stuff. But yeah, I absolutely agree that this is probably going to be about 2 months, maybe 2.5 months worth of content. And then after that, it's going to be like, okay, when's the Destiny 2 news? And first we're probably going to hear about Destiny 2 is probably going to be in May. That seems to be when Activision generally greenlights actual information for their games for the year coming out. So it'll probably be May, and then after that we'll have E3. Then we'll have a couple of months of building hype until Destiny 2 itself comes out, which I am ready for.
Yeah.
Quite ready.
Yeah.
Nah, I think I'd like another year of Destiny 1 just to really one last lap around the track before we grab that Destiny 2. No, please. As soon as possible, I am on board for that.
How about last week of D1? They make everything back to their original state of OP.
Like
Hammer Titans, original Hammer Titans, Vex Mythoclasts, original Vex Mythoclasts, original Blink. Pocket Infinity, changing back all the PvP maps. Like,
you know,
everything crazy.
I kind of like this because I want to know, because then we can finally turn what was the most OP thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. If we have all the OP stuff at once, we'll see which one rises to the top of the OP meta.
See, I always thought they'd introduce a game mode that would enable you to equip an exotic in every slot, so you could just be like
Dude,
a game
make
mode.
That happen too.
You know,
make that happen too.
I love that.
It's like that scene. You ever see the movie Cabin in the Woods?
Yes.
Where
yes.
the SWAT team comes in and they hit the button and all the elevator doors open
everything.
Up and everything comes out at once.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I want right now.
Love that.
Make it
maybe,
happen.
Maybe we can hope for that.
You heard
maybe
it here,
that.
Everybody. Get your expectations rolling now. Get them really high right now. You heard
here.
It on this podcast. Make sure that you are prepared to be mad at Bungie when it doesn't happen.
When it doesn't happen.
I heard that they confirmed that this was going to happen tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you guys hear that too?
I did. I heard that. Yeah.
They confirmed dual wielding pocket infinities. That's confirmed.
That doesn't happen.
It's done.
I swear to God.
Is it time for Q&A?
I think it's time for Q&A.
Yeah.
I think
it
one is. Last thing. Hold on. One last thing. There's one last little bit of the weekly update that I wanted to cover before we end things here, because it's something important for you Trials players out there. Trials of Osiris bounties will also be updated, and all of them are now able to be completed daily while Trials of Osiris is active. Silver and gold tier bounties will now feature gear and weapons from year 3. So you can finally get those year 3 weapons from the bounty drops in Trials, which is like, thank you.
Another
Not sure why
move.
That wasn't a thing when they came into the game, but thank you.
Yeah. Another good
Now
move.
We can move on to questions.
Yeah. Yes. Questions then. Let's, if you've got a DT, if you've got Twitch chat or your thing open, if you can see a question that you'd like to answer, please be our guest because you are, in fact, the guest.
Yeah.
What an appropriate line when Beauty and the Beast just came out. Planet Destiny podcast sponsored by Beauty and the Beast. Go to a thrilling, magical adventure in theaters now.
Remember, no one does anything like Gaston.
Exactly.
That's true.
No one snipes like Gaston. No one bags
no
like
scopes.
Gaston.
No. He's the ultimate red bar warrior. Yes.
He's been burning the candle at both ends, that's why. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come
Please
up
don't
with
sue
a
us, Disney.
Whole song. Mega, we'll talk about that later. Okay,
yeah,
questions,
we
questions.
Questions, questions.
Destiny Disney parodies. Let's go.
Oh my god. Alright. Questions. Fallout, you're the question guy. You always ask.
Am I
questions.
Am I the question guy?
DT's right. picking one?
I mean
DT's picking well, DT's, one.
Oh, he's picking one. If
yeah.
he sees one, I thought.
He's
I thought he was supposed to interject.
Yeah, okay. Here we go. Here we
one.
Go.
Fallout usually has him queued up and ready.
Yeah, I usually do, but I got lost in your eyes, buddy. So
one that got up. One what? That we kind of mentioned, one that we kind of mentioned that got brought up in chat is what is the most OP? What was the most overpowered thing in Destiny
ever
to this point? Yeah,
I'm so happy somebody asked that because I wanted to ask it too.
There's only one answer to this, and that's killed by the architects. Come on,
yep,
there it is.
I think I want to say original Vex Mythoclass.
Yeah,
that's what I want to say because
what about
it was
Sunsinger nades, Sunsinger. Old nades with the 7/7 ticks.
No, those were really good, but because with Vex, it was like when it first came out, it was so rare. It was really, really rare. Not everybody had access to one. You know what I mean? It was like you had to do. Wasn't it like the raid on hard and something? I have no idea. It was, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And when you found somebody in PvP using that gun. You were done. Like, even if you got the first shot on them, they could turn around and just, even if you were perfect, and they could just gun you down. It was really, really bad.
Didn't it? It had, like, 72 in the clip. It was some,
oh,
like,
yes.
crazy
it was
amount
of
crowd
it was,
control.
Yeah.
Shot like a, you know, like a rope. That thing was crazy.
And my favorite was every time you would look on the forum and people were complaining about it, there would always be one guy who'd be like, no, it's like an exotic gun. It's supposed to feel like a reward and it's supposed to reward people for doing the hardest thing in the game and like you're like you have the gun don't you
you're
not fooling anybody right now
that guy's name was Fallout Plays.
I think it's a question that comes down if we're going to limit it to exotics it comes down to three guns all from the pre-October patch from 2014. And it would be the, in spot number 3, the Suros Regime in its original form. Because that thing dealt, like, at base with focus fire, 45 to the head. It could kill incredibly quickly. And I think it scaled up to, I think, the final shot of its magazine back in those days dealt, like, almost 71, 72 points of damage. It was ludicrous.
Jesus.
Number 2, and it's really just a fight between the Pocket Infinity and the Vex Mythoclast. Because the Pocket Infinity was such a ridiculous weapon. Being a fusion rifle that could have 8 rounds in the mag, its special ability is that it's full auto, and like 80% of the shots you miss just go right back to your magazine. So you can literally just like charge up, like, oh, I think this room might be full of guardians. Let me sit outside, recharge, start firing, turn, walk around the corner, and suddenly 7th column. It was a ludicrous, ludicrous weapon. But, and then, of course, we've got the Vex Mythic class, which was, like, a little bit more centered and focused, but could just wipe you in, like, 4 to 5 shots at pretty much all ranges, had a crazy magazine, and was just way too strong of a gun. I'm going to throw one other thing in there. And this was an exotic that got a little bit of a boost from, like, a secret perk that used to be on a certain class, and that is the Icebreaker. Way back in the day, way before the Dark Below came out in Destiny 2014, Sunsingers used to have a hidden effect. When you popped Radiance, solar weapons would catch enemies on fire. Did any of you guys know that?
No.
I remember that, forgot about it until you brought it up.
Yeah.
Right now.
You could body shot if you popped Radiance, you could body shot.
That was a long time ago.
It was nuts. The thing is, it was even worse with Vex because you could shoot somebody and burn them. Crazy times back in those days. That used to be a secret buff or a secret perk of Sunsingers that Bungie got rid of and made me incredibly sad because I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, man.
As someone who didn't play back then, Link is like a perfect historian to me, or like a grandpa telling me what it was like back in the day. Tell me more stories about year one, Grandpa.
I'll tell you of the good old days, boys. Before the Taken King.
Yeah. It was a neat little thing. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that because I think it got patched like as soon as Dark Below came out. They got rid of that, so... Sad face. It was just the beginning of a long decline for Sunsingers.
Yeah.
Rip.
Downward spiral, you know.
I'm looking at these questions on Twitter. They're almost all food related.
And I saw some pizza pineapple ones again.
Yeah. You want to answer that one from Alien Invader? Pineapple on pizza? Yes or no?
Heresy.
Yeah, it's
DT,
awful.
Come on.
DT, you're our guest. What's your
I've never tried it, and I'm the type of person that will try anything once, so I'd be willing to give it a shot.
I like it. You guys don't like pineapple on pizza? What the hell's the matter with you?
I like pineapple on
pudding.
I was
hoping DT was going to say, I'm the type of man who will try anything once, but I don't go that far.
But fuck
that. That's what I was hoping he was going to say. There's a line that a man
doesn't
cross.
Hawaiian pizza is good, because you get the combo of the pineapple and the ham, or you can put bacon on it. It's great.
Okay, well, I can put bacon on anything and say it's good. People put bacon on salad, and that makes salid fucking
just
good.
Saying, like, just saying, man.
Put bacon on bacon, and that makes it even better.
You know what's good? You know what's making it good when you put bacon on it? It's the bacon, not the fucking pineapple.
Is it?
Right?
Is it?
That's what I'm saying.
So if I take some bacon and crumble it into my Mountain Dew, that'll make it taste like heaven? Is that what you're telling me right now?
That probably would taste pretty good. I'm not going to lie. It's fucking bacon. It's cheating.
You know what?
It's cheap.
Bacon perfected.
I mean, it's still pizza, so I guess if there was nothing else, I would try it.
Yeah. Well, how about a Destiny question here from Vita?
I guess we want to get
for
weird.
Fusion rifles, hot swap or rangefinder? I'm not really a fusion rifle expert, but I do know that rangefinder is good on fusion rifles. I do know that.
You learned that in stream.
I did learn
watching.
That. Yeah.
I actually knew something you didn't. I knew rangefinder.
Did you know that?
It
already?
Makes them shoot. Yeah, like faster. Doesn't it kind of?
I did not make. I didn't know. I knew that it kept them condensed, but I didn't know that it made the bolts travel faster. That's actually really interesting. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
One
of my
friends.
The more
range you have on a fusion, the faster the bolts travel, which is why range is an important factor. Hot swap is like I think a super underrated perk. That bonus accuracy you get is definitely helpful. Rangefinder is going to give you more mileage.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting both the perks together. It's pretty decent as well. Hot swap, rangefinder, fusion rifles, good.
Why not both? Always the appropriate.
If you have
answer.
Hot swap, don't throw it away. That's a good perk on any gun. Like I can't think of any gun that'd be like hot swap. Oh, garbage. Shard it right now.
Also, except maybe a casket mag Luna, perhaps. Maybe.
Yeah,
the best.
I've had one of them hot swap casket mag.
Casket. Rip.
Yeah.
So I want to address something really quick about the previous question about the exotics. I saw somebody mad in chat because we didn't mention Thorn. Look, Thorn was strong. It was nowhere near the strongest gun that Destiny ever
Lord.
Saw.
Oh, Lord. No.
If you think Thorn was the most OP thing in Destiny, you didn't get a chance to play with OG Mythiclash. You didn't get a chance to play with the OG Pocket Infinity or even the Suros Regime. Remember, back in those days, Suros Regime was the gun that kept Thorn in check.
Yeah.
Thorn was always decent in PvP. It really sucked in PvE with the super slow reload and the magazine size and all of that. And certainly the Dark Below buff helped with that. But it was kept in check by other guns, and it was nowhere near as just straight up busted as the Pocket Infinity or the OG Vex Mythiclass. Go look up gameplay of those guns. That was just broken. Wanted to say that.
Yep. Correct.
All right, do we want another Destiny question or a food question? Because I got one of these.
Does DT have one? I just want to know if DT's
got true.
One.
DT, you got one for us, buddy?
I think I have one from Nathan Sane. Nate says, what would you guys like for Bungie to emphasize on in D2? MLG, or should it focus more on story and PvE? So really just what's something you really hope that Bungie focuses on during D2? And I'll leave this one off. And it actually goes back to Vita's question about, what was it, the hot swap. And so hot swap increases what, accuracy? One thing I really want Bungie to get better at is describing these terms.
Yes.
I have a legal background and it drives me nuts reading some of the stuff that they have in this game. And it's like, as a wise man once said, what do you mean? Like, what does this mean? Target acquisition. And I understand for the Crucible scientists in the audience that it's fantastic because it drives up a crowd that we're able to explain these types of things. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, that's like
good. You're literally describing like 80% of the reason why I created my YouTube channel.
Yeah. And it's, but to an extent, you know, to those that don't necessarily know how to use Reddit or even the Bungie forums, and gosh, I'm not a big fan of the Bungie forums. YouTube's a great resource.
You're also not a fan of getting punched in the face or in the nuts. I don't know.
You'll never find a hive of more,
a more
what is
wretched,
it? A more wretched hive of scum and misery. The Bungie forums.
Unless you listen to this podcast and you're on the Bungie forums, then we love you. You're one of the good ones.
Everybody else
it's
sucks.
The other
you're
guys.
Great.
Yeah. You're right. They are neckbeards in their mother's basements. You're the cool one.
God.
Yeah, so what's something you guys that are looking for to, you know, maybe obviously the okay storytelling, we could say, you know, a more balanced Crucible. What's something that you guys just kind of, I wouldn't say drives you nuts, but something that you hope, you know, kind of gets fixed up or tidy up or maybe a complete overhaul in detail?
If let I have one thing, I'm just going to fall out. I'm going into it.
From the postmaster.
That's a great, I'm not even going to cut him off anymore because that's such a good answer.
Damn it.
That's a good
let
one.
Me do it. You bastards.
It's so...
I give you whatever you want.
That's such a first world problem, but it's so real and annoying to have to exit the menu and walk that 5 seconds it takes to get to the vault and look it up and decide what I'm putting in the vault and then go back.
Look, I say this every time when Bones jumps all over Medic.
I agree with you, though. It drives me crazy, but it's such a minor thing.
I have all these gauntlets because I have the variety. You know, do you want the grenade throw distance? Do you want the melee speed? Do you want the hand cannon reload? Do you want the pulse reload? Do you want the intellect discipline strength? Blah, 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 blah. I have a whole bunch of stuff for everything. You know what I mean? I have a whole bunch of weapons that I like to carry around with me. Because I like the Palindrome. I like the Luna. I like the Mida. Blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to have to put a gun in the vault or a piece of armor in the vault so I can go back to the postmaster and take something out just to delete it.
Just to get rid of it.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here. Like, how hard would it be to just have, like, a button and be like, oh, yeah, fuck that shit. Like, I don't want it. Just get rid of it.
Yep. Hold it down. The fact that it's on me, it doesn't matter. I just hold down, you know, the delete button. Yeah, I get you.
Why are you sending blues to my postmaster anyway? Why is that a thing that you're doing?
I'm so on board with that. The one I was going to say, one of the things that bothers me in the game so much is that there's all this great lore and grimoire that they put so much emphasis on me collecting, and there's no way for me to access it in the fucking game. It just, I don't understand why there is not on every exotic gun I get, I should have a tab that's the grimoire that I can hit a bumper and it just takes me to the card on that thing. Or there should be a grimoire area or some way for me to access this stuff that is not me going to their website and reading the little cards there or going to Bife's videos. Like, I want a way that I can get that information in the game.
To me, that is one of, it's a smaller issue, but that's one of the biggest failings, like, that I've seen lore-wise with Destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny, people, you know, make fun of it for not really having a cohesive story because there's really not much story there. But you know what there is? Lore. There is a ton of backstory, a ton of lore for this game. It is super fleshed out. It's super interesting, and none of it's in the game.
Yeah.
None of it. You have to go to an outside website to read these cards one by one by one. For me, the fact that you can't just, like, go to the speaker in his little library up there and activate a mode where you can just read the cards or whatever, is it's mind-blowing to me that that's not in the game.
That's a good point.
And that hasn't been in the game since year one.
He's the speaker. He's supposed to tell you this.
His purpose is to tell you the history of the Guardians, and he doesn't.
It just seems like he was there for that at some point, and they forgot to put it in or something. It just is that little...
And how does that... Bill Nighy to read all these lines and... you know, forgot to put those lines in the game. Our bad. It just doesn't make any sense.
And on the speaker, how does that motherfucker see? Just where, like, over here on the sides? Like, is he blind?
I'm convinced.
Well, it's triggered by this. He's fine, but there is more.
Every time I see him, I'm like, how do you see? Like, how do you know I'm not, like, giving you the finger right
now? It's a calling to speaker, not to see or fall out, all right?
When the darkness, and I'm just, like, up in his face, giving him the bird, and he's no idea. Like, this happens every week. And
but you could say that about everyone's helmets. No one's got eye holes. You could flip them. Everybody
depends
on
them. Some of them have visors, though.
There's guardians walking into lampposts and tripping over down the stairs in the tower, breaking their shins and stuff like
Bungie,
that.
We want better rights for Guardians Destiny eyesight. 2.
Literally unplayable.
Yeah.
Unplayable. But putting my tuppence in, I think you can sure guess. Out of all the years that I've played Destiny, I've only got two repeating gripes, and that is not being in America, being outside of the States, some more sensible regional European matchmaking. Because let's face it, they're probably going to stick with peer-to-peer. It's very cost-effective. If they do dedicated servers, then that will eliminate one of the problems that we experience on a daily basis over here in our parts of the world. So there's that. And then loot. You know, when you spend hundreds of hours trying to get a certain weapon to be able to compete... you know, I think they're probably going to address those things, though. So those are the two things for me. Loot, you know, because, like, you can get starved. You can find yourself in a gear loop where the game is preventing you to getting certain access to things because either you might be playing above an amount of hours, or maybe you use, you know, it's the game is tuned in to what it is that you like using. So it's like drip feeding you that kind of content. I agree with those kind of things, but I think it's got a bit too much in quite many, you know, in cases. So there, loot and matchmaking. Those are my hopes. I have every confidence that Destiny 2 is going to be amazing in story, in content, in art, in activities. I've got absolute all faith in that. It's only those two areas that I'm grey on.
It basically seems like all of us are pretty happy with Destiny 1. It's just the little nitpicks, the things that just make the life a little
bit
easier.
It's the best game there is.
To enjoy it all.
What's better than Destiny? Like, apart from Breath of the Wild or whatever it is you're playing on.
You Switch players.
Breath of the Wild's pretty sweet,
I haven't even got one yet.
Good game, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But, like, no, it is, out of all the games, it's the best game that there is for us. You know, that's what we like to play.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a good game, man.
Amen.
Can I ask a final question that was asked in the chat that I kind of answered in there, but I'd like to ask everyone else, which is the outside of gaming, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do when you're not playing video games? If there even is anything, because, I mean, by God, what else is there in life? I think we can, I'll answer first while you think, I guess. Like, I like to write in my free time, write and read, primarily focused on script writing, like television stuff, which is why I combine that into video games and made a machinima show, because I like to do that anyway, so why not combine the two things I like? So yeah, what anyone else? DT, you're the guest. What is your... I'll put you on the spot first.
Yeah, no problem. So I mentioned it. I have a legal background, graduated from law school, hope to soon be here, an attorney here. I'm a total legal nerd, total legal geek. I like to study up and read up on, you know, a lot of recent legal happenings in the world, stuff like that, you know, case law, and that drips into politics quite a bit. So without going into any of it, the political climate right now is just absolutely a blast. On the judicial side of things, on the legal side of things, it's entertainment. Yeah, I'll put it in that sense. On the judicial side of things, legal side of things, rather. So yeah, I'm a really big. That's a big part of my life.
Yeah,
look at that. That's pretty cool.
That leads me to like a follow up question. Do you watch the show Suits?
Yes, and it's so good. It's so good.
Half respect as a dude, man. I aspire to folks like him. I'll never it's be so him, good. But I like Harvey Specter a lot.
He's a man's man, yep.
I'm not even a man's man. I'm like a chamois leather.
We learned that Story is a baker in his spare time, apparently.
No,
which is pretty awesome, actually.
I just feed
man.
Myself like without putting crap into my body. It's not like something I think, today shall
we
bake.
We learned Story is a survivalist conspiracy theory nut job in his spare time who won't eat anything that he doesn't prepare with his own two hands.
I play guitar. I played guitar for 20 years. I like long walks on a frozen beach. Played my dogs.
Story. I play bass. I know Bones plays guitar. Why haven't we formed a band yet?
We'll have to do it.
Cross countries band.
We'll have to do it. We'll have to do it, man. Beautiful. For sure. I do need to get back into it. I played professionally for nearly 10 years in a ska punk band.
What?
And now it's really happening. Bring it. Let's see it. Let's see it. I want there to be a boy band. A PD boy band.
God.
Do it.
Oh my Lord. I am into this. Fallout. We'll save Link for last, right? Because he's gonna have. Okay. He's got the smoothest voice.
Of course.
Best
yeah. I drink tea. I knit.
Fallout's having an existential crisis.
I bake.
What else do I do?
And I'm also a professional bounty hunter. Not a lot of people know that about me. I choke people out in the street in Brooklyn. Sometimes for free. I honestly have no idea what I do. I don't have any more free time. I go to work. I play video games when I come home. I make content. I stream. I try to help people. You know what? I really like stand-up comedy. I listen to it all the time. All right. I haven't gone to a club in a while to like listen to some people who I knew from college, but I love stand-up comedy. I'm always listening to clips online and YouTube and stuff like that. You guys have a favorite comedian? That's a question I love to ask people. Do you have a favorite comedian?
Loads. I have long
so many.
Lists.
Can you name one that you really like? Maybe two?
I've really been digging Nate Bergazzi
so
lately.
Who?
You know, Nate Bergazzi, I think is his name.
That name lately. Sounds familiar.
He has the album Yelled At by a Clown is one of his albums. And it's one of his bits is just about how his dad was a clown growing up. And like it's really confusing to be yelled at by a clown to see the smiling face. But he's like, is this good or bad, man? Like the face is happy, but the words are angry. I don't know what's going on.
I gotta check that out.
I'm super into stand-up too. I did I drove cross-country to LA and back, and both ways I had like 36 hours of stand-up for both trips that I just
That's
fucking had freaking playing
awesome.
The entire time to keep me up. So
you know,
I'm with you on that.
Brian Regan, do you know who that is?
Oh yeah, of course. That's Brian
really
Regan.
Really funny. Tom Segura.
Tom Segura
is so good. Oh, yeah, Brian Regan, he really is the king of clean. Him and like Jim Gaffigan's pretty clean too.
Yeah, he is. Oh yeah. If you want food humor, you go to Jim
Gaffigan.
He's
big fat white guy humor. But yeah, that's what I do in my spare time.
Awesome.
Awesome.
TBL, tell us what you do when you're not gracing the world of video games with your beautiful presence.
I actually don't exist outside of this medium. I stop existing until someone contacts the space that I generally manifest in and ask for some voiceover work. Uh-huh. And then that's when I come from the ether and I exist. Usually just as a disembodied voice, but I have to make this all up for a live stream here.
TBL actually Zordon from the Power Rangers.
I am literally Zordon.
Yeah.
Just a big disembodied floating blue face that is now Bryan Cranston. But this whole voiceover thing, that was my hobby and my pastime before it kind of became my job. But I like talking for a living.
That's pretty awesome.
That's my pastime.
It's a pretty legit way to make a living.
Damn, man. Yeah.
There it is. I know that TBL is a gigantic TV show and movie nerd like me too.
Yes.
Every time I end up in one of his streams, it just evolves into us geeking out about random stuff. So
I am a huge comic fan. Mm-hmm. I've been a comic fan since I was a kid. I've collected comics since I was a kid. As a result, I have an extensive knowledge of useless information about comic book characters. Like, there is a living street in the DC universe. I think his name is like Dan, the Living Street.
Interesting.
There's nothing special about him. What? He's just a street. He's got alleys and stores on him.
Now
he's alive.
Technically, isn't every street on that Green Lantern planet living?
What is it, Mogo?
Mogo, that's the name. So there's a lot of living streets.
There's a lot of living streets.
Yeah.
And other than that, you know, I build computers in my spare time.
So, oh, look at that.
Cool. I like doing that.
And you get a nice TBL for president in the chat as well. Look at that.
Look at that.
Yeah, right. Dude, that's not on now.
I agree. My goodness.
You can't have a disembodied voice as president. Can you?
Or can you?
Speaking of voices, it's probably a good idea for the audio side of the family to do us that nice, sweet little outro, and then we can move on to raiding some lucky victims.
Right on. That is going to be it for this one, Guardians. Thanks so much for tuning in to episode 113 of the Planet Destiny podcast. Real fun stuff this time around. We do have another Bungie live stream coming, the last one, the Sandbox live stream. Should be going live, I think it's March 22nd, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Before we get on out of here, Mr. DT, thanks so much for joining up, man. It was a pleasure having you along for the ride.
Again, the honor is all mine. I can't put into words how surreal this truly was. So thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for everything that you guys do for not only this channel, but for this community. So thank you.
I like DT. He makes me feel good.
He's good.
Yeah, nice.
A likable guy.
It's really nice. We'll have him back more often.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Fallout, pack your fucking bags, buddy.
Right on. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about what you do and where exactly they can find you, man?
Yeah, you can find me primarily here on the twitch.tv/planet_destiny, streaming trials, carries, and doing PvP during the week and other fun stuff. You can also find me on my own personal channel, twitch.tv/heyitsdt. Again, doing Destiny and a little bit of Overwatch, having some fun with Overwatch. But yeah, you can basically find me anywhere at heyitsdt or heyitsdt Twitch. No spaces anywhere.
Perfect. Beautiful.
Lovely. Amazing.
Right on.
All
right.
So we just...
As for the rest of us, we're all at the usual spots. You can find Mr. Mega Magwitch generally at Mega Magwitch Proto Scout on Twitter. Husky Raid is where he does all his big stuff. Mm-hmm. Fallout plays. He's a big man. He holds classes. And he also has a Magic Trial school bus.
He does.
That's going to be an emote. I am going to make sure that is an emote on the PD channel before the end of the week. Because... Fallout Frizzle and the Magic School Bus. 2-2, ready to rock and roll, baby. And then, of course, Story Machine. I have no idea how to spell your username.
You don't need to.
Story Mafortune.
Yeah.
Story Mafortune. That's a brilliant way to remember that.
Yeah. I remember.
Story Mafortune. You can find it anywhere by spelling Story Mafortune.
And the YouTube's titled as it would be normally, spelt normally as well. So that will get you there. It will get you there eventually.
Beautiful.
Right on. And of course, I am the Black Link. You can find links to basically all of our social media pages over at the Planet Destiny YouTube channel. We will be right there on the channel over on the right-hand side. So if you'd like to check us out, feel free to do so there. Left-hand side? Is it the left or right-hand side?
No, I'm pointing here because, yeah, but when they see it, it'll be to the right. God,
yeah. Okay, I got you. I get the bit. I'm sorry, Fallout Frizzle. Forgive me,
yes,
Fallout Frizzle.
He left on his own. DT, jump in his chair.
There you go. Top over. We've got an opening.
That would be cool.
It would have been amazing.
But all right, Guardians, thanks so much for tuning in to episode 113 of the Planet Destiny podcast. We'll catch you guys in the next one.